The just man liveth by faith. These words are taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Perhaps one of the greatest acts of the pontificate of Pope Pius IX came in 1854, when in the presence of 200 bishops and cardinals of the Church, he infallibly proclaimed the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary to be a dogma of the faith. He solemnly declared the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady to be a teaching divinely revealed by God and infallibly taught by the Church. It was indeed a very glorious time for the Church to officially teach that Our Lady was conceived without sin and was at every moment of her existence in the fullness of grace. And on this joyous occasion, a celebrated artist came to Pope Pius IX with a preliminary sketch of a huge painting. It was to portray Pius IX solemnly proclaiming the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. The artist, pointing out particulars of the painting, said to the Pope, "See, Holy Father, you will be in the foreground, reading the parchment. Around you will spread the bishops and cardinals in their robes, like a red sunset. Up above, in pearly clouds of glory, will be our Lord and our Lady, and angels and archangels." And Pope Pius IX responded, "Yes, but where is St. Joseph?" "Yes, St. Joseph. We can put St. Joseph over here." And the artist pointed to a corner of the picture where tiny cherubim were cascading down onto the picture. But the Pope laid his finger on the center of the picture. "You will put St. Joseph here," he said quietly, "next to Jesus and Mary." And looking at the artist, he said, "That is where he was on earth, and that is where he is in heaven." My dear faithful, in all of sacred scripture, there are no recorded words of St. Joseph. But St. Matthew called St. Joseph a just man. And St. Paul teaches that the just man liveth by faith. A just man is a man who has a solid foundation in the practice of all the virtues. For centuries, the Jews had prayed for the coming of the Messiah, the king that would free mankind from the tyranny of Satan. But throughout those centuries, as the Jews would murmur and grumble against divine providence, God would allow them to be conquered by different peoples. And in a sense of being overwhelmed by the enemy, they would stray from the true messianic prophecy. They wanted a Messiah that would conquer their enemy, that is, their worldly enemy, not their spiritual enemy, as was the case in the days of the Holy Family. In the days of St. Joseph and the Holy Family, the Roman Empire had subjugated the Jewish people. A conquered people wanted to produce a conqueror. Therefore, the general conviction of the people of Israel was that their coming Messiah was to be a worldly conqueror in order to smite their enemy as they had been smitten. And the day would come, they thought, when they would crush these Romans and once more be a world power. But we must believe that St. Joseph, a just man as Scripture calls him, belonged to a remnant of Jewish people that had kept alive in his heart the true traditions of the Messiah to come. Otherwise, one cannot conceive of him being chosen for the work he was to do. And that is to be the head of the Holy Family, to protect the Blessed Virgin Mary, and to be the foster father of the Son of God. It was hope that burned in his heart as he desired the coming of the Messiah. But imagine how eager his hope became when he learned that he was to have a participation in the mystery of the Incarnation. Just as the saints love to talk of God, picture St. Joseph during those months of Mary's deliverance, asking her to repeat over and over again the story of the great day of the Annunciation, asking what the angel Gabriel said to her. What did he look like? And asking what happened with her visit to her cousin Elizabeth. Hope is what burned bright in the heart of St. Joseph as he too awaited the coming of the Messiah. And an eager hope once he learned the role he was to play in this mystery. And it was hope that gave him courage to do the difficult. When the Holy Family was in danger, courage gave him strength to persevere and to protect his loved ones. St. Joseph knew that in spite of his weakness, God was always ready to help him. Of course, he acknowledged humbly his nothingness, and he always placed his trust in God. St. Teresa of the Child Jesus once said, "Holiness does not consist in this or that practice. It consists in a disposition of heart which makes us humble and little in the arms of God, well aware of our feebleness, but boldly confident in our Father's goodness." Therefore, my dear faithful, if ever in the face of difficulties and sacrifices imposed on us by our duties and our state of life, that we stop and calculate our own strength, we will draw back and be tempted to give up. But if, on the contrary, we stop looking at ourselves and turn our eyes to God, we can have great hope and take courage that he will give us the strength to go on. Firm hope in him will make us strong, courageous, and generous. As Pope Pius IX placed St. Joseph at the center of the painting next to Jesus and Mary, may St. Joseph hold the same place in your heart, and may his example of hope give you courage to persevere in the practice of your faith and in your vocation. God bless you, and I wish you a very happy feast of St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.